wait a second, there's something off in my emotional well-being right there.
I need to prioritize my emotional wellness.
And I'm just like, oh, that makes me so angry.
We've been feeling emotions since we were born, right? But we are never taught on how to manage them. That's not part of school.
Happiness happens most often for me when room temperatures are at a certain point.
And it was nothing you were doing. What you were doing was actually probably the most loving thing you could do for me in that situation, but it was coming off to me in the opposite. So that had to do with me.
So we're talking about our emotional health and well-being and how, you know, when you look at us as a whole being, instead of segmenting us out from the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, we've got a lot going on nowadays, which is wonderful, around the physical and the mental aspects of that. But I don't see such a movement around our emotional well-being. It kind of gets lumped in under the mental, but it's an aspect, it's a large aspect of who we are, not just lumped under another category. It's a huge part. And then we have the spiritual aspect of who we are. And so when we look at those as separate categories, and then when we're under this umbrella of how our inner critic feeds off of that, right? Yes, they all interweave. It's not like we can say that they're separate segments. They're all interconnected. But we have to look at the pieces of the puzzle and how they fit into the puzzle to make us who we are. And so that's where I say, for me, it was beneficial to like dive down in and look at the pieces of my puzzle and say, okay, what is going on with my emotional health and my emotional well-being? And how can I start to build upon that and really help those that I'm in service of identify what's going on emotionally and track and trend that? And when we talk about emotionally, I don't mean the feelings that stay with us that do play into the mental aspect of it. I mean, like the actual emotions, the triggers that arise, the more visceral, in the moment, things that happen to us. So if I'm with you and you, Austin, not that you would ever do this, because it rarely happens in our connection, but if you make me angry from something that you did, and it's probably not even about you at all, it's a behavior or an action that you did that triggers something in me. And then I'm just like, in that instant, there's like almost an innate thing that comes up. And I'm just like, oh, that makes me so angry. I hate it when he does that. But it's really not about you. It's about something that I've held on to or something that's going on in me. And if I just leave it at that emotional trigger or that emotional response, then it starts to go into my mental health. But if I am consciously aware enough to go, wait a second, there's something off in my emotional well-being right there. And I need to take a moment to go, what's up with my emotions? What do I need to understand about those triggers or what's going on inside of me right now that I can expand upon, then I can really identify my own emotional, my own innate responses and start to really, what we talked about, flip the script, right? Not feed my inner critic with that and instead go, huh, I'm learning something about myself through that. Why does that make me angry? Why would something, you know, if it's a big thing, yes, maybe it's something we need to talk about. But if it's a small thing, why would I allow that to impact my emotion or my day at all? Right?
Yes. And that's so important because it's really easy to let something or someone outside of yourself just completely wreck your internal experience. And so I feel like this, what you're calling is an up level in our conscious awareness of how we feel and the emotions that we experience, which I want to dive into with you, but that we take in the moment, that we start taking responsibility for them. And it's not about, as you're saying, it's not always about someone else. And most of the time, it's actually not about someone else at all. It is how we feel about that something that someone else did. And so I feel like that's such a key aspect to be able to flip that script, as you're saying. I love that. Take the responsibility and recognize just because you're taking responsibility doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Doesn't mean it's a negative thing. Maybe it's something that keeps occurring because it's an opportunity for growth from within, and it's something that no one outside of us can do for us. And so that's that key aspect of flipping the script that I think is so critical to our own personal growth and awareness and understanding of what it means to have emotional well-being and to prioritize emotional well-being. I mean, we as a society have been so focused on physical well-being for kind of more or less for the first time since, I don't know, maybe more in the 90s and the 2000s, it really started to become more of a focus. Maybe it was before then, I'm not sure, but it seemed to really hit, you know, gyms and, you know, then wellness centers. And, you know, there's been this wave over the last maybe 20, 30 years, let's call it. And then we're getting into mental health a little bit more, maybe in the last decade. It's becoming more of a topic that people are like, oh, yeah, like this is something that is important to discuss. Well, that's great. That's only two aspects. Now we have emotional and spiritual. And so that's why I love that we're going to really kind of have that overview discussion on why emotional health is so important. And maybe we can also talk a little bit about how it impacts the mental and the physical, so we can kind of create that thread across the way.
Yeah. I remember being a little one and the Jane Fonda workout came out, right? It like swept, and everyone that, like my mom and all her friends, were into the Jane Fonda kind of workouts, right? So what we want to talk about is creating a Jane Fonda workout for your emotions and for your soul. You know, it needs to be simple and fun, but something that you can do on a regular basis and feel engaged in. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that sticking with me because it was the first time that I remember, you know, I was a kid, but everyone was just so excited about actually working out because it seemed so fun. And that's what it should feel like. That's when your inner champion's going to start to rise, right?
Yeah.
Because your outlook on this is more like, this is going to be great. It doesn't feel laborious. Yeah. It feels like, yeah, it's challenging. It's not like it's going to be a walk in the park, but it's going to be a fun challenge. And so that's what we're creating here. And emotions sometimes are not always fun. Mm. So we have to recognize that. But what we do with them is our choice. Are we going to make it laborious? Or are we going to find a way to create challenges that can be fun and really strengthen how we navigate our emotional process? Yeah. And so that's the goal.
I love it. As a recap, just for people who might be seeing or watching or listening to us for the first time here today, we have discussed a little bit about the difference between feelings and emotions.
Yes.
Can you kind of restate that just to kind of get the flow, and I feel like it's such an important topic. Every time I hear it, it's just like it resonates with me, and it's just a good reminder every single time, because I feel like I've been so ingrained that they're the same, and it's like the same word for different words for the same thing. And so when you first explained the difference, it was very eye-opening, heart-opening, and really set the tone for how to create emotional well-being for myself. So yeah, if you wouldn't mind starting there, I think it would be great.
Absolutely. And in a way, it's easy to see how they get kind of interconnected and used for the same, because they are so interlaced. But our feelings start from our emotions. Mm-hmm. Our emotional responses happen like in the moment. So when a situation arises, whenever we're in an experience, we tend to have an emotional response to that. Good, bad, indifferent, there's an emotion that arises. It could be boredom. It could be anything, right? But that arises in us. And if left unchecked, then that emotion gets registered. And over time, it turns into the feelings that last. Those get kind of set into our memory, and the feelings that stay with us over that experience are what settle in. But we feel like, oh, that's just an automatic response that happens. Emotions turn into feelings and they stay with us. But it doesn't have to be that way. If we have good emotional health and emotional hygiene, then we have an opportunity to go, look, yes, I was in this experience, but and I had these emotional responses to it. But what stays with me as a feeling is something I can consciously direct. All I need to do is look at what I choose to take with me from this and process out what I desire to leave behind as far as the emotions. So it's kind of like going to the grocery store, if you will, right? Like, yeah, I'm in the grocery store and all of these things are here and I'm soaking it all in. But what am I going to walk out of here with? I can choose that. I don't have to take the whole store with me. Mm-hmm. Nobody's telling me I have to do that. I am here and it's all there and I am surrounded by it, but I get to choose what I'm going to take with me out the door. And so if you and I are in a very strong discussion and I'm telling you, look, Austin, when you do this, it triggers me in this way. So based on my past experiences, when you behave this way, I am triggered in this way. It does two things. So that was one of the first tools that I would offer is primary in our emotional health is being willing to communicate if you're with someone on a regular basis, what your triggers are, and do it in a loving way, but in such a way that they know, because you're not going to know what my triggers are based on my experiences. But if I'm willing to tell you, like, look, here are my triggers. I know enough now that if you raise your voice at me when we're in the middle of a discussion, my trigger response is, well, I'm used to getting yelled at, so I feel like you're mad at me. But you're not really mad at me. You're just emphasizing a point. So my opportunity for growth is to recognize you're not mad at me. But until I can get to that point so that I'm not triggered emotionally, can we both be aware that it's a trigger for me? I'll work on my part, which is growing. Can you help me as I'm navigating that growth by being aware of my emotional trigger? And then I'll walk away from this experience feeling supported by you. So what I feel now from this exchange is loved because you heard me and you understand my trigger. I also feel strength because I was able to share where I'm at versus walking away feeling anger from being triggered, right?
Yes. That communication understanding is so critical in order to effectively communicate to those that we're around, like you're saying, our loved ones, our partner, our family, even our coworkers. I mean, that is important. We feel, as we were kind of talking about in our last podcast episode, about being vulnerable. And this is why it's important to be vulnerable, is to be able to share and effectively communicate. But it's also from the assumption that we even know what our triggers are. Yeah. And so that's kind of taking that even step back a little bit further and being willing to recognize our own triggers, because oftentimes we're just letting our emotions control who we are and then how we interact in situations. And then we feel like the whole world is doing something to us, or like it's the world is happening. It's happening to us or at us instead of with us. Until we, as you say, flip that script and recognize that our emotions are our own, and it's part of our responsibility to understand why these emotions are coming forward and why these feelings are sticking with us. That's where this practice is coming forward, and being able to either journal, for example, like we talked about, or being able to talk. I mean, I'd say that's, I remember when I was first journaling, it was hard for me to write down my emotions. I was like, I don't understand. Yes. You know, it's like, it was at that. So I didn't know how to express them. But talking with you, someone that I trust, someone I feel safe with, someone that I know loves me, someone that won't judge me, being able to talk with you about them was so heart opening. And so then I could understand, wow, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I had a trigger around this area. May I share?
Yes, one, like, of course.
One of the ones, like when we were first learning how to communicate with each other, let's just say.
Which there's always that time, right? There's always that time.
And your way of processing was to step out of the room to kind of reconnect and just say, look, I don't want to say something that I'm going to regret later. I'd rather collect myself and then come back and be really clear, so I'm not just throwing things at you, which is extremely loving. Like that, like idea that someone would even do that is just, was just mind blowing to me at the time. I was just like, whoa. It didn't even come as, like, I had no idea that people would even do that. And so, you know, my trigger was like, oh, like we're in the middle of a conversation, you're just leaving. And so it was like, you're abandoning me. And it's like, we're having a talk. And so I didn't realize how much I was triggered by that movement. And it was nothing you were doing. What you were doing was actually probably the most loving thing you could do for me in that situation. But it was coming off to me in the opposite. So that had to do with me. And then I realized that if I just flip that script and realize that I'm the one who's reacting to an action that you're taking, which is outside of me. And instead, I could turn in and say, okay, well, she's doing the opposite of abandoning me here. She's actually coming back to me in greater awareness, higher consciousness, in depth, in a greater depth of love. That's the opposite of abandoning. That's stepping up. That's showing up. That's being there for me in the greatest capacity as my partner. So why would I be mad at that? Why would I allow myself to continue to be triggered on something that the love of my life is showing me the greatest form of love in that moment? That's on me. So I had to reshape that, shift it around, and be able to communicate effectively, like, hey, this is what's triggering me. This is why, because this has happened in my past. Please help me in this first little bit. If you could stay in the room and just work with me, and just, you know, if you need to be quiet or you need to like process, like, I'll be quiet. Like we even said, like, hey, just put up a finger for like one moment, please.
Just need a moment. Processing.
And just that little thing. And that was kind of helping us. So that way you stayed in the room and I was able to spend a little bit of time like recognizing, okay, like I can understand where you're coming from. You can understand where I'm coming from. And that completely shaped the whole dynamic of our communication. So now if there is a misunderstanding or a frustration, you do step out of the room, like that's not going to interrupt. Like, I know exactly what you're doing now, and that's not going to trigger me. And even I found value personally in whether it's with you or with people around me, of like just being like, hey, I need a moment, and communicating that out loud, stepping out of the room, collecting myself, coming back in, and then connecting and being in a much better space to handle the situation, and not letting these emotions control who I am and therefore my actions, and then get into a position that I don't want to be in the first place. And so that's where this practice of being aware of how to communicate the emotional triggers that you're feeling is so, so critical.
Yes. And this is where, again, being an interconnected being comes into play, because our emotions are driven so much by the energy as well of the space that we're in and what is occurring. And so when we do take that step away, at least this is why I did it, I took the step away so I could reset the energy that I was feeling so that I could walk back in a different space energetically and with my emotions, and more of a space where I could re-engage and really view from a new perspective. And so by understanding that interconnectedness, then it reset my whole view of my emotional state. And it gave me that emotional well-being to understand that, look, if I was in a heightened emotional state and you're in a heightened emotional state, all we're going to keep doing is amping that state up instead of one of us being able to reset and balance so that we could help lower that emotional state for both of us. Right? So
beautiful.
It's very beneficial to do that. In part, I'll go into another tool that we have on our list.
Yes.
Probably a little out of order, but part of what helped me understand that is we have these amazing tools now with virtual reality, which are pretty available in most places, not everywhere. But if you can set up some virtual reality parameters that help you trigger yourself outside of being with other people, then it helps you learn how to navigate your triggers a little bit better. And what are some tools that you can utilize when you're in those scenarios that will help you be prepared when you're there, right? So walking away is definitely a tool that was beneficial for me, because then all it took was 2 or 3 deep breaths and I'm reset and I'm not just reacting versus responding in my emotional state. Mm-hmm. When I attempted to do that in the simulation and I'm breathing while in the space, well, it doesn't necessarily work, because one, it triggers the other person. They're like, why are you breathing? Why are you not talking to me? Mm-hmm. Well, so I don't want to trigger someone else while I'm like, just give me a moment to zen out. Gotta breathe, you know? So you don't want to heighten the state, but if you just take a step away, you can do that and return, and it doesn't heighten the state and it gives you both space. Hmm. So you get to kind of make your way through what would be best for me in this scenario and not feed into heightening the state, right?
Yes. Yes. And I mean, there's, with the advances in VR and those different opportunities, this is a great space, to be able to learn without hurting other people in the process. Mm-hmm. It just reminds me of Tony Stark, you know, I think it was something along the lines like biometric artificial reality feedback, or BARF.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I gotta work on that.
But basically, he was really living an experience with his parents through artificial reality and virtual reality, right? Mm-hmm. And that was really emotional to him, and helping him get through something. And so it's like, we see this in movies and we see it out there as like, you know, this isn't just something we're kind of making up. It's like, hey, this is already out there. There is information on how beneficial it can be. And so it's just now kind of time for us to catch up and start saying, yeah, I need to prioritize my emotional wellness. You know, maybe I am focusing on my body wellness, which is great, but at what cost to the rest of me? Maybe I am focusing on my mental wellness, great, but again, at what cost to the rest of me? And so if we can start to create more balance and understanding, because we weren't taught as kids. I mean, we've been feeling emotions since we were born, right? Mm-hmm. But we are never taught on how to manage them. That's not part of school. It's crazy, right? How many problems in this world would be solved if we were all taught how to manage our emotions and be really clear with the style of communication in which we share them very first, like from a very young age? How much would that adjust our conflict? How much would that adjust a lot of problems and a lot of stress and a lot of perceived issues that we feel that we have, but the reality is we actually don't, because it's stemming from within, because the disharmony we have is not outside of us, but actually within us. And until we create that harmony and use tools like this to help us move through them, then we can actually experience the harmony within and therefore create more harmony outside and around us.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for watching. We really appreciate it. I'm Austin, co-host here at the Heart Leader Podcast with Amber. And if you haven't already, please take a quick moment to like and subscribe below. It helps us know we're making amazing content that you enjoy. And thank you for your support. We'll see you in the community. Back to the show.
And, you know, as a kid, you love video games, right?
Yes.
And so what I love even more with like technology nowadays is we can do that kind of thing with our kids and start teaching them, even if it's not in school. That would be great if we did this in school. Yeah. But utilizing video games that can help them learn, but also use that biofeedback, maybe not call it barf, but using that biofeedback, we can help them understand their emotions and what different games are doing to their emotional state and how to then redirect it. So these video games are available for home use or for, you know, personal use. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a kid. At any age, we can use them. So if you're a gamer, it's a great opportunity. And this is another tool that I highly recommend. So if you're someone who really enjoys video games, it's a great, great tool to, you just hook yourself up to a biofeedback system and it tracks when you get triggered by anything that you're engaging with in the game. And a simple Google search, or we can put a few things out there, but it will, they're not incredibly expensive, but it is a great way to know like, hey, this is making me anxious, or this is making me frustrated, or this is actually relaxing me. And if it's something that's making you frustrated or anxious or even angry, then what can you do to actually calm that emotion real time, to not allow it to do that, to actually allow you to make different choices in the moment and shift the trigger, whether that's turning off the video game, which, you know, you're not always going to be able to turn off life. Or is it finding a way to shift your biorhythm and actually take the time to reduce the trigger? But there are all these different things that you can do. So I think that having a game like this, again, it lends to the fun. If it's heavy and it feels like work, then you might not necessarily be like, woohoo, I want to work on my emotional health. But if it's a game, then it's something that might be a little bit easier. And then it challenges you too. Like, okay, I want to be in a game that makes me frustrated so that I can pull back that frustration and still see if I can conquer the game.
Yeah.
And not be frustrated while conquering it. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. Yes. And finding tools like creating soundscapes and different, what are different sounds that you can create? Because nowadays we pretty much have music at our fingertips at any point, which is a really unique thing and a great opportunity to kind of take advantage of, you know, whether it's through our smartphones or in our cars or, you know, most people walk around with headphones pretty consistently throughout the day. Even with like a smartwatch or something, you can pull music straight from there. So, you know, there are certain things that we can do with, whether it's different types of frequencies, binaural beats, finding maybe it's white noise. I mean, there's so many. If you go onto YouTube and just like calming soundscapes, oh my gosh, there's playlists and playlists. Same with Pandora or Spotify or any of these streaming services, you're going to find something. So understanding, okay, well, you know, hey, if I get really worked up when I'm driving because, you know, it's triggering just because people aren't great drivers, then maybe instead of listening to things that might enhance that, like maybe a talk show where people are arguing. Mm-hmm. And that kind of amps up that energy. And then you've got people around you. Okay, well, maybe you shift that. Maybe you listen to really calming music, you know, for the 15 or 20 minutes that you're driving. Or maybe you listen to a really calming book or just something that is a little bit, maybe it's just, yeah, relaxing, whether just great music. And you can have a playlist pop up on your phone if you know something's happening and you just want to get to it really quick. You can create shortcuts to it. So there's always a way. It's just about finding what works for you And then integrating that in, that's it's like almost not an excuse. And so that's a great way to do it. It's also a great way throughout the day to just create a baseline. Mm-hmm. So I love listening to certain music just throughout the day. It's just very calming. It just depends on the day and what I'm seeking. But if I can kind of listen to that, and it'll be hours and hours of the same song, just kind of background noise, but it just creates that beautiful flow. And so I'm creating a baseline for myself. And so that just helps me navigate when system or things come arise up, and it's like, okay, you know, I can have a system in which to implement a better approach, that I know that I'm not going to just go emotionally crazy on someone. You know, I'm going to be a little bit more reserved and focused and have clear communication, allow myself to feel, because I'm not a robot, but it allows for more active processing, if you will.
Yes, more awareness of what you're processing.
Yeah, also.
And I'm going to give a little plug, just because I love them, not because there's any affiliation, but Liquid Mind. Mm-hmm. I listen to them pretty much all day, every day, while I'm working, because it allows me to stay calm, but still focused. And so when you can find that type of a soundscape for yourself, because we're all different, right? But when you find what fits for that kind of flow for you, I know you listen to a soundtrack or a soundscape called Epic Mix off of YouTube. Mm-hmm. So there are all of these different things that fit for someone. Like the Epic Mix makes you feel so epic. And for me, anything from Liquid Mind just really makes me feel very calm. And so when things do then arise emotionally, I'm very present with it, and I make my choice. Like I referred to the grocery store thing, like, am I going to take this with me or am I not? And am I going to do something about it? But that really adds to my awareness ability, because I'm not so caught up in the future or back in the past. I'm like really present because the sounds have brought me really present. So it's very helpful.
Yeah. All set.
Yeah. And there's one more.
Yes, there is one more. And this is a great one, because we'll actually also have a free download of this tool available in the description below. This is emotional mind mapping. And as much as I'd really love to dive into this myself, I'd love for you to, since you actually created this beautiful tool that is available for people, just to create, like, why is emotional mind mapping so important? I feel like that's maybe a great place to start, because this may be something that people have never heard of. I know I definitely did. I've heard of mind mapping for business and things like that. And that's what I love. Like, these are tools that you might use in other ways, but not apply it in a way that's actually could be life-changing on a whole other level. And so, yeah, if you wouldn't mind sharing about emotional mind mapping, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. So in coaching, we use these a lot. And I know in other fields, and in business, yes, we have used mind mapping a ton as we're figuring out things. But when we're talking about emotional mind mapping, it really helps us get to that root emotion that we may find ourselves continuing to have. And often it can be one that maybe we don't want to have all the time, but seems to keep cropping up for us. Or it could be one that we have, but we would like to have more often. And so we would like to map out, okay, what are the conditions that are around that emotion when it actually occurs? So we'll go for the positive emotion, because I love focusing on the positive.
Yeah.
And so if we have the emotion of happiness, and we would like to know, okay, how can I have the emotion of happiness more often? And let that be a feeling that registers and just stays with me. It like sticks. Well, then we have to understand, we have to map out, we have to do a mind map of what are the conditions that are occurring when we are happy, when we have the emotion of happiness. So we look at multiple different areas. What's going on outside of us? What is the environment? What are those conditions? And we map it out. And we want to keep it simple. Like, we don't want to write a ton of stuff. It's like 1 to 2 words summarizing what's going on outside of us. What's going on inside of us? What are other emotions that are triggered when we have happiness going on? Because it's never just one emotion. That emotion spawns a whole bunch of other emotions. So what other emotions did it spawn? So there are all these categories that you kind of look at and you're like, ooh, okay, from that just one little emotion, a whole bunch of other things were happening. Who was I around? Who was in the vicinity that maybe contributed to that? And so maybe there's a link between that person and my happiness. What was going on, you know, like physiologically or with my actual form at the time? All of these things play a part. And so when we can start to see how all these threads tie together, then we start to know, okay, maybe happiness occurs most often for me. And I realize this, I'll share some of my own secrets. Happiness happens most often for me when room temperatures are at a certain point and when other conditions are met in an environment. So I am not so happy when I'm freezing to death. That pulls away from my happiness. I know that now. So I do my best, if I know I'm going to be somewhere cold, to have lots of layers so that I can stay happy, right? And when it comes to what's going on inside of me, I know that if I desire to be in that happy state, I have to have calm. Calm is happiness for me. For other people, having a lot to do is happiness for them. Well, that isn't happiness for me. And so I have to know that about myself. The way I know that about myself is because I mapped it out, right? And I'm not attempting to shoehorn myself into what is happiness for someone else. That helps me have happiness on a regular basis that then turns into the feeling that is happiness that stays with me long term.
Yes.
So that's the tool. And we can do the same thing with all the other emotions so that we have a clear picture. And so, yeah, we have the, this will be with the book and there will be a more in-depth version. But right now we have the free version that you can go out and just kind of play with.
Yeah. And I love that you focused on a happy emotion or a positive emotion, if you will, because when thinking about emotional well-being, it's really easy to dive into the negative. It's really easy to just fall right in that flow. And you might hear a lot of things about healing traumas, which is really important, right? It tends to be where a lot of our quote-unquote problems come from. But that's not always the main focus. And if we keep it the main focus, then there is an issue there. And I think that doesn't get quite talked about enough. Because if we do find someone that we want to talk about our traumas with, for example, there becomes issues like trauma bonding. And then we get stuck in the cycle of trauma. And we're not actually healing them. We're actually just kind of reliving them or revisiting them and allowing it to actually direct our life versus us directing the emotion. And so it's important to use tools like this to help us actually heal those traumas to move forward. But the reason why emotional well-being is also important as a whole is because it's about emotional well-being. Like, how do you actually nurture your well-being and the emotions that you desire to experience on a regular basis? And so if you're constantly diving into the traumas and you're not focusing equally on the positive sides, then you're not really nurturing your well-being. And so that's why it's important to really start to bring in awareness of the positivity. What makes you happy? What makes you joyful? What brings out the best of you? You know, and then you can start to, what brings out the worst of you? What brings out the negativity? What brings out the difficult times or the sadness? recognizing yourself as a whole person in that way can start to, you can really, as you're saying, start to connect those dots. And if there are in people, maybe it's a group of people or an individual or a place that is bringing out the, you know, the parts of you that you don't desire to experience, you know, sometimes it feels one-off, but the reality is they could be very well connected. And then you might see that same kind of connection, what brings you joy and what brings you happiness and positivity and uplifts you. Well, then maybe you might want to shift your time, awareness, energy, and effort into the things that are bringing positivity and uplifting you in your life. That to me is what emotional well-being is all about, and having practices to support that so you can actually create that nurturing environment for you to experience what you desire to experience through the motions that you live every day.
Yes. And in many ways, starting here means that you're starting at the base of your mental health and well-being, because so many of our emotions feed into our feelings, which feed into our mental state of being. And so it's not all of it. Obviously, there's so much more that goes into our mental health, but our emotions play a big part of that. So if we can get ahead of it and really understand how our emotions are influencing our feelings, which are then going into our mental state, then we have an opportunity to start directing our mental well-being as well. And so just the opportunity to see how we interweave is such a gift.
Yes. Thank you for connecting all that together. And, you know, if we're not feeling great mentally, then that may keep us from doing something like exercising, for example, or eating healthy foods and all, you know, so there's support. It kind of goes both ways. Like if you're, as you're saying, if you're not feeling, if your emotion you're feeling is negative, and then the mental is negative, and then, you know, the body well-being becomes negative, and then it's just, it becomes a cycle, and that support, it kind of flows both ways. So I think having that understanding and that holistic view is so, so important. So thank you, because it's, and you can start, whether it's you're starting here in the motion, or let's say if you're really focused on the body, and then you can, but you have a clear picture of where to go and how to move forward. You know, that's what I love about specifically this chapter in the book, and how you kind of really create that beautiful picture for people to see and start to recognize themselves as that whole picture. So, yeah, thank you.
And we appreciate you tuning in to another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where our heart and our mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I am here with Austin. And we want to make certain that we let you know that that mind map will be available out on silenceyourinnercritic.com. You'll see the link down below. And while you're out there, you can pre-register and save 20% off of this book once it goes live. And just for doing that, we'll make sure that you get a copy of one of our best-selling workshops. It is the Mirror Technique, and it will help you begin to see yourself with the most loving eyes. Until next time, we look forward to seeing all of your comments and questions posted below. And if you haven't had an opportunity yet, and you would be so kind as to click the subscribe button below, it will make sure that you never, ever miss an episode, and it helps us out so much. We look forward to seeing you next week and chatting with you here in the community.